Friends, this morning I'm turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and from verse 1 to 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to 7. And our topic for today's sermon is life in the last days. Life in the last days. Nyanum anopei mi kama semne fi Timothy muma etosi mi yinono iti mi ensa fi ki muba kubusi ensono na asemo aye bi na so ni se ewiye bremu se die agbagbo mutie eye ewiye bremu. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come the knowledge of God. So friends, we are going to see how Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, wrote this thing to Timothy, and by extension to all of us who are living in the last days. And it's a warning from the Almighty that there is the last day, and he will send his son again to come, our Lord and Savior, as we just sang from our church hymn, Christ will come again, and the earth shall quake. We also hear from Isaiah what the Lord has said that he will do in the last day.
Na oba na oba be kuya ten. It is said that everybody will die, but after death there's judgment. It is never true that when you die it is finished. Appointed unto man to die once, and after death there's judgment. So this warning you take them very seriously. Let's begin with John the Baptist, the one who was a forerunner of Christ. He came to prepare the way for Christ. And we read from Matthew 3 that when he accused King Herod of his evil plan, the king put him into prison. John the Baptist, you already know, obviously see a common man, Jesus. I know he go by a friend Herod. Now, or yeah, you be a enye. Now, John can't want him to admit to prison. And see, John under prison, you know, here and Nehemiah a court. Let's listen to what happened when John was in prison. Matthew chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then later in his ministry, the same John, in Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3, that's when he was in prison, and he heard about Christ. So he sent his disciples to go and find out from Christ whether he is the true Messiah, the one that we have been expecting, or we should expect somebody more. And let's read that and see the reply from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, now when John heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou that should come, or do we look for another? Or say, I wouldn't have banu and I'll be anything if I put you. And let's see what Christ said in verses 4 and 5. He said, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
John, a smart people, or in will be a war banana. And I used to cast the implication and said, Uncle can't share John, a near man, or Orchie, any near man, and the trap for even at the end, almost in 1990. The lepers are cleansed, almost an almost as well, quickly, Omnano. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and then finally, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So what God is saying in a sense is that these are all the signs of the coming of Christ. So if these things are happening, then the Messiah has come. That's exactly what Christ was saying. And I'm sure it settled all the doubts in the mind of John. He got to know that really the Lord has come. And I'm sure he died a happy man, knowing that all the prophecies about Christ had been fulfilled, and he had seen them before he died. So today we are looking at the last day, which the Apostle Paul spoke about during his ministry. But the question is, because this last day is with a lot of controversy, are we truly in the last days, or the last days are yet to come? There are so many teachings about these last days that if I want to go there, we won't leave here today. But we believe that we are in the last days. I'm sure if Apostle Paul were to be here right now and we ask him, all what he would say is that the happenings of the day, as Christ was saying to John, all what they were seeing and hearing, they were proofs that Christ had come. In the same way, what is happening in our day is the proof that we live in the last day. The last day began from the first coming of Christ and his next coming. That is the last day. Now, you see, and you can't have a year, John, as my phone, some of you said, and Nema Omununu, HS, you know, Abampa. Yes, no, your time, and Nema Yehunu, HS, and we have no Abampa. And no one, Yebe, Siandie, and like I said, the last day began a long time ago, with the first coming of Christ, and it will continue until Christ comes finally. But we are going to see signs that will prove that we are in the last day. And friends, I just want to remind you that all these signs began right from the fall of man. But the intensity of it is what shows that we are really in the last day. The American said, If we say you buy our coin, and as if we say even Adam cry, everybody will feel children, then all these things started. Never mono, we said the AC cost runner, and the chest appeared the area Benu Abamba. I'm sure we all know that when, before we come out of the night to the day, it becomes very dark before the light shines. I'm saying name is just Anabi Ekoda. I did a chiama, Yevunu, a year, a year is soon passed. And Sana, the same thing. The beer, it gets to the peak, it drew the pepper to me, and Sana, Sadi, and Abba, Sana, you hear it here. And Nemana, watching, need another battle, now every battle should be brave. I'm here to say, I think you have been no Abba. Now, one thing we should learn is about the warning that Paul gave. That in the last day, he said, perilous time. Perilous means dangerous time. Danger. Dangerous times will come. And then,
And then he shows the apostle or the pastor Timothy what he will have to do before Christ returns. And friends, as I said, we are living in the last days. There were a game meaning. And then my Bible says, now, say, Apostle, I'm hamper. Now, when Paul wrote to Timothy, those were the conditions that were happening in his day. So he warned him, things that he needs to confront with as a pastor. And then things that he has to expose in his ministry and in his preaching of the word of God. These are the things he will need to avoid. He was pointing to Timothy the things that he has to avoid and things that he has to pray against and warn people. Paul actually said, come on, Timothy, no. Now, or channel, and near my, and then back to every year to me. Bonia, and if I ever yet, and it's a dear Timothy, ever pass on now, what preacher said, if I, now one warning, if I, now around to action in a free. Enipa ebeba ebeyemre no ni nyina Paul ekyekye nse de enipa no ebeye na ohwe verse 5 na having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and then he says from such turn away. So there are people who will have a form of godliness, who will pretend to be Christians, to be pastors, to be so-called prophets and apostles, and yet they are far, far, far away from God. And Paul was warning Timothy to turn away from such people. And the same warning extends to us that we must be very, very careful people that we listen to. People in these last days are preaching against Christ, and yet they are calling themselves Christians. And we need to be very, very, very careful, because God will not bring these things to the Bible for nothing. There's a reason that God brought these things. God loves us. And he wants us to be careful about what we hear about his word. In the last days, he has said that people will have itchy ears. They will have to listen to things that make them happy. They don't want these things. They don't want the warning. People want that what will make them happy. And that's what we are seeing. That's why when we go to some churches, thousands of people are going there. When you come here, you see few people. But Christ has said it. He said, the way to the truth is narrow, and very few find it. The one to destruction is so broad, and a lot of people rush into it. So it is important that we warn people about these things so that we are careful of how we lead our lives. The American said, sir, one year Paul, or the man Timothy, ah, yes, so I am someone in here, if I say, what can't say, I'm here, and if I be remember, so I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, apostles, I'm here, so forth. As no one here can put on paper, I'm preaching against the Bible and against Christ. I'll give you one example. Just last week, I read from Ghana Web, and a very prominent pastor, was saying something. And this was his statement. What he said is, he said, you will be fooling if you think that diligent Muslims will not go to heaven. This is from a Christian pastor. He said, you will be fooling if you think that diligent Muslims will not make it to heaven. And I was wondering how this man will interpret John 14, verse 6. I wish I can meet him and ask him, how will he would interpret John 14, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. These things are there. You see, people are preaching against the Bible, and yet they call themselves pastors. Amen. So we are in very dangerous times, that we need to be very, very careful what we hear and what we listen to. The American said the Bible only said we are not actual phone. To see a you who be our soul so for I will be asking and can't organize her. I will not say we're not going to pay me. Like you say we preach. Now some of our can say we be a ceremony, we be a Muslim. That's what some in ceremony here. We be go heavy. And I'm just saying, the Bible says, yes, you see, or no one, you know, so, and they go heavy. And you know, so, what you will be a son in Kremo, will be a Buddha, will be a Hindu. That's what we know in the year, or they go heavy. And I just say, oh, can say, Tia, the Bible, no, so, the Bible is here, I just say, and I'm used to, and quiet, and they go heavy. So, we need to be very, very careful. Now let's look at some of the signs that the Bible says we will see in the last day. It said, for men shall be lovers of their own self. And if I bet on Mongasa Eho, a Yemu, a Nema Ibuno, a Bina Paul, a kind, or see any Papa Dot or Mongasa Eho. And we see that in our present age. We all see it. When men and women are encouraged to love themselves, that's what people are being told, to love ourselves. People are told to love themselves unconditionally. And they think that such, and we should know that that kind of loving yourself, it is the true sign of our falling from how God created us. And yet people are being encouraged to love themselves. If you read Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. As some Paul can say, and say, Obia again, and say, or you be seen, Obi. And I say, Obi, and the position, and then the second, and maybe I know I can't, you know, or it be a sin, Obi. No. What Paul is saying that we are all one, especially when we come to the Christian faith. We are all one people. We are all sinners saved by grace. So nobody should see him or herself as higher than the other. And that is what Apostle Paul is warning us here. Like I said, the love of self is the foundation of for all the depravity. When Adam sinned, all of us became depraved. Depraved means like we are dead. We can never do anything good. So we should not praise ourselves because we are a fallen race. And these were the people that were in the days of Timothy and in our days also. Today we see many people who are lovers of themselves. What they think, what they say, and what they do is driven by their self-love. People are even forgetting about the God who brought them up. We have a parable of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the rich fool, the person who had a lot of produce from his farm, and then he sat down boastfully. He said, I have these things to myself, so what will I do? I will eat and drink and make merry. And God called him a rich fool. Why was he a fool? He has labored and he has harvested and he's going to enjoy them and relax. So why is he a fool? Christ said he's a fool because he never thought of God, the one who made him to be able to get all those habits, the one who gave him the strength, the energy, everything to do the fahim. He forgot about God and he was thinking about himself, loving himself. So these are the things that the apostle is warning about. And this is what brought about the ruin of the human race, loving ourselves. So we have to be very, very careful. And as we are seeing them, we know that we are getting to the end of the world. Then he also talks about covetousness. People will be covetous. Especially people love money more than anything. And we see it in our days. We are not saying that nobody should look for money. Obviously, we need money to live. But to love money in a way that you are so much consumed by the desire for more and more and more material things, this is what the Bible is warning about. We all need money to live, but to be consumed with the desire for money, that all your mind is on money, and you do anything to make money. This is what he's talking about, covetousness. And the Bible warns seriously about this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with this we shall be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, for which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. This is a warning about being consumed by the material things of this world, money. The American had said, "Oh, see, I've been to every year. I'm be pesika. I see the
and because it's a penny and yaddy for you, it is kind of easy. Then, Momuno, just the car, what you want to the sentence, it be ever so we did his canoe. Don't cross our corner, bring his car, obey, and in America, and in the Bible, a warning. Now, first thing, which is the sixth verse, six months or say, there will be soon and coupon. Now, when you have a crowd, baby, a home password. Since they open your baby, now we need on your coupon. So the Yakupon de Kakache in Matthew 6, verse 33, that he said the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, and by these things, they are things that he has named in verse 32, things that we need to live, clothing, shelter, basic things. The Lord knows we need them and he will give them to us. But we should seek him first. Friends, as he is warning here, if you don't have Christ in you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and you become rich, then your riches will control you. It is true. You will never be able to control your riches unless there's Christ in you. Then, when you are rich, you'll be able to know what to use with your riches. Otherwise, it will control you. And you will do things that are contrary to the word of God. So, levels of money are never content. There are people who are never content. They want more and more and more. And they are not ready to surrender to God because they don't want any restrictions. If I must do something to get money, and the Bible says I should not do it, I will snub the Bible and go for the money. That's what not being content means. And as we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, those people, they are drawn into destruction. There will be temptation. There will be snares. Satan will make snares for you, and your condition will be worse. Friends, I'm sure we've all seen people who have been rich and famous, and in these days you see them begging for us. Many of them, you read in the newspapers, on television, there are people who were popular, who were famous some few years ago, and are begging for us. But when godliness with contentment, if you are godly, the Lord will take care of you right through your life until he comes. He will provide for you, he will guide you, protect you with everything that you need until he comes. You don't need to be so rich and say, like the rich fool, I have billions of CDs in my account, so I know I can live comfortably like that. It's not necessary. Every Christian is rich. You are very, very rich. The only thing that you don't see your money physically, but it is there. Whenever you need, God will give you. It is true. When you commit all your entire life to God, whenever you need it, the Lord will give you. You don't even know where to come from, but he will give you. So if you make your mind that I'm looking for money, and because of that I'm not even going to think about God, you will fall into temptation, you will fall into a snare. And that's what his warning is about. And then he talks about boasted. Those people will be boasted. They will be boasted. Obviously, if I'm in love with myself and my money, that will make me arrogant. It's clear that if you love your money and yourself, it will be arrogant and pride, and then it will be boastful. You boast with your money. We all hear it. When we go out, we hear people, you know, pointing. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I can do? Do you know this because of maybe something small that you've gotten? People will be boasted, but they don't fear God because they love themselves. People like that think they are the most important people on earth. And if they are doing that, it means that nobody matters. And even God does not matter. They matter because you have what you have. And these are the men that Paul was warning Timothy that they will be in his days and by extension into our days. If I bear Ahumaso, if you look at Kebia Omu Ewenti, Ombaya Ahumaso, then the same thing, he talked about proud. People will be proud. The American version calls it haughty, haughtiness. And this is the danger, the same thing of thinking highly of yourself than you should. And you must only be boasting and pride. They are the same thing. Oh, I must go, would you say, yeah, who first thing will be, and I was caffeine will be, and I wouldn't know what thing will be. One thing, yeah, all these things, you know, will make you proud. And in 3 John chapter 1 verse 9, we read that I wrote to the church, but thy Trophimus, who loveth to have the
preeminent among them received as not. You see, here John is saying that there's a man called Diotrephes. Because he wants to think eminent, or better, chest, or only a high thing, or be a. And see, any papa na, I want small to one for him. Why, you know, this is already there, or you're so high. But we have so many of them in our world today. You don't see humility in practice, you don't see humility in people who say they are church goers. You see pride, arrogance, and boasting in them. And these are the warnings. And when we are seeing them, it tells us that we are in the last day. Then he talks about blasphemy. People will be blasphemous. And to blaspheme is to speak bitterly and abusively, especially against the word of God. And it's happening in so many ways and in very subtle ways. People will not openly come and condemn the word of God. But like I said, with what I just told you, people will preach against the word of God. People will blaspheme and give their own interpretation of the Bible. But we all know that the Bible interprets itself. Everything that you need to know about whatever is in the Bible, from one verse or one passage, there will be another passage that will throw more light on it. People are using their own mind. Their fallen mind, their depraved mind, their corrupt mind, to interpret the word of God. And it's very, very sad. And it's all blasphemy against the word of God. Then, another one, very serious. Disobedience to parents. Children who will be disobedient to parents. I'm sure we all know and we all see how many, many children don't even respect their parents. When I say parents, it's not only their biological parents. Every elderly person that you meet, you must give respect to them. But the Bible says they will be disobedient. Children will be disobedient. Now the children think they know more than their parents. It's true. When you are teaching your child something, he thinks that your time is past. They know. They should tell you what to do. And it's very sad. And the Bible has said that we see those things. And we are seeing them. We are seeing them in large numbers. And why I'm saying this is a serious thing is that even in Romans chapter 1 verse 30, when they were talking about sin, talking about the many things that will bring destruction, this is also there. If you go there, you see that he's talking about backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Then disobedience to parents. It's in Romans 1 verse 30. It is there. So it is, I want it to mention here and it's mentioned there. It's a very serious thing. So children who are here, this is a warning. If you disobey your parents, God will punish you. It is a sin. And not only your parents, when I say parents, not only your mother and your father, every elderly person that you meet, wherever you meet that person, you must show respect to that person. And when even Paul was writing to the Ephesians in 6 verse 1, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So when you say this is right, it means if you don't do it, it is wrong. It is a sin against God. Parents should establish themselves as the authority, and the children should respect their authority. It is also the duty of parents to also show their authority. But their own life, I was talking to one man the other day. He allowed his children and his wife to go to church, but he wouldn't go. So when I met him, I was asking why he doesn't go to church. And he couldn't give any explanation. Obviously, for him to allow his wife and children to go, he knows the truth is there. But why is he himself not going? And these are the things that when you do as a parent, your children can disrespect you. I remember one Sunday, when we were in the other place, a man came to complain to me that his daughter wasn't respecting the man. So I had to go to them. They live down here to talk to them. But when I went to the house and I saw the man's attitude, even though I'm not holding brief for the child, I realized that the fault was from the father. He was drunk in the house and things that he was saying. So if you do this, your children will obviously be disobeying. So let's move to the other one. Unthankful. And I'm sure ever since the fall of Adam, mankind has been marked by this unthankfulness. And Paul says this will be prevalent in the last days. We will see them in the last days. Ingratitude. That's what it means. It's always a sign of danger. If you are ingratitude, it's a sign of danger. In our, even in our human relationship, when someone does good to you, you must appreciate it. You must show gratitude to the person. How much more God? You look at what God has done for us. How he has to send his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on this earth for us. In all our sins, and he has forgiven us, providing for us. He always there for us. You have to thank him. Everything that God gives you, when you wake up in the morning, it is him who has given you the strength and the vitality to wake up. You must thank him. But nowadays, people wake up in the morning and all they are looking up is their business. They forget about the one who kept them alive throughout the night and to thank him. So it's very, very, very important that we should always thank our Creator in everything. We must show gratitude to him daily and express it to him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he said, what is right in this regard? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, in every situation, whether you think it is good or bad, give thanks to God. And we are living in days where this thankfulness is no more there. People are not even thinking about those things. Then talk about unholiness. What is holiness? Simply means to be set apart from God. When we say holiness, when somebody is holy, the person has been set apart for God. Like today. Today is the Lord's Day. That's what we call it, a holy day. It's a day God has set apart for himself. And he said, in that day, in that holy day, we should worship him. When he says keep it holy, because it is holy, it means do only things that will bring glory unto God. That's why it is called a holy day. It is only for the Lord. The whole day, he has given you 6 days. The 7th day is for him. And in it, he wants you to keep it as holy. How do you keep a day holy? You keep it holy by doing only things that will bring glory to God. Only. Not things for God and then things for yourself. That very day is for the Lord. You keep it as holy as he has said. And in this church, we are fortunate because of the way our services are. You spend almost the whole day in church. And by doing that, you are doing what is all bring glory unto God. If you don't have that privilege or opportunity to be in your church the whole day, when you go home, remember that the day is a holy day, a day for the Lord. Whatever you do, ask yourself, will this bring glory to God? That's how to keep a day holy. And he's warning that he's saying that in the last day, men will be unholy. And we see it. We see it everywhere. When I go to my village and I have to rush back to Accra because of Sunday, people don't understand me. So if only one Sunday, you don't go, what will happen? They don't understand. They don't know that that day is a holy day. People are profaning that day. People are being, now everything, every social, whatever entertainment, they treat it on Sunday. And it is very, very, very dangerous. And the Bible says we will see them. And we are seeing them, which means we are closer to the end of this world. Or can't say, Nyankopon, Enipa, Ewe, Benu, Enipa, Enfe, Nyankopon, Asem, Se, Eye, Kron, Kron. And I mean, Echem, Se, Se, Kase, Obi, Eye, Kron, Kron, Obi, Awa, Dine, Hon, Siwa, Ma, O, Nyankopon. Mede, Ewe, Asi, Ami, Wey, No, Ibi, Bia, Mede, Ama, O, Nyankopon. And I especially, Se, Ene, Kwe, Siye, Se, Nyankopon, No, Akato, Wa, Se, Ene, Ye, Ne, Da, Enti, No, Yesa, Ensumo, Nung, Kwa, Bia, Ewe, Bia, Ami, Yonye, Hon, Se, Adi, Ami, Ye, No, Edi, Eni, Mo, Yen, Be, Be, Nyankopon, Ana. The whole day is for the Lord. And the Bible says, if you are able to do it, you will be able to do it. You will see people who are there on such a holy day. So the Bible says, and it is true, that when we are seeing all these things, it shows that we are very close to the end of this world. Then you talk about on loving, like having, not having natural affection for God.
whether it's for a family or for God. And then Paul said that we see all these things as a mark of the coming of God, where people will have disregarded for their own family, for their own friends, and for any other people that come their way. I will quote what one poet called Joseph Addison, what he said about these things. He said, "The grand essentials to happiness in this life are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for." I'll repeat it. The grand essentials to happiness in this life are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. What he's saying, let's turn it the other way. Let's imagine it the other way, where you have nothing to do, you have nobody to love, and you have nothing to hope for. What will be your life? And that's what is happening in our day. People don't have natural affection. They can't obey your woman, your new anomaly, your wish for any yasori ma. Paul, see, a bit dreary, you mean, and he passed out of the way in you who said they're not here before me. And I make up the mind, now I will be a church poetry or church on them. And now, or can say, and they may hear. I don't believe any idea as I see to know. Any idea is a way. Idea is a window. Any idea, every man will edit us. Now make up the family. Say, we need animal will be here. We need to be a way. We need to be a window. We need that will be a life, they say. Your life will be a life of hopelessness. The American version says, without natural affection. See, so people are now behaving cold towards their friends, towards their family, and this is a sign of the end of this world. Then it's called about truth breakers. Truth breakers. This means unforgiving. People are unforgiving. You see, the American version calls it irreconcilable. It's like they don't want to reconcile. You can't reconcile with them. Somebody offends them and they will hold it and hold it and hold it. They will never forgive. Forgetting that Christ said that if you want your prayers to be answered, if you want God to forgive you, forgive others. Yes, in our day, you hear people say, I have, but I will never forgive him. It will always be enough. We hear it all over. People will be unforgiving. And in the state that we know that this is the time for the end of this world. People are not willing to forgive. What about God, if God says that he won't forgive you? What will be your state? Who are you that you say you won't forgive anybody? And yet, this is what we are seeing in our days. Then he talked about accusers or slanderers. Accusers or slanderers. And we see them many in our days. People are always accusing other people. People are always saying something bad against, which are not true, just trying to destroy them. We see them in our days, especially in politics, in candidates for both groups, always slandering the other, knowing what they are saying is not true, and yet they will be saying it, just because they want to win. And it's everywhere. We see them everywhere, even in churches. And according to Apostle Paul, it's a danger of our time and a sin against God. Then you talk about incontinence. That is the King James Version. The American Version says without self-control, people don't have control of themselves. If I want to me and share one so, I want to me share more, I can also, I'm a lot, I want to me and share one so. And we see it in our days, especially in the area of sex, drugs, alcohol, food, work. Whatever we do, we must have self-control. Like I said, we must have self-control. That's why I said, if you don't have God, you don't have Christ, and even if he gives you riches, they will control you. We can never control them because of the sin that is in us. And as we have seen that all these sins are complex. It is like they intertwine. People who love themselves, obviously they love money. Obviously they are boasted. Obviously they are proud. They are blasphemous. They will disobey their parents. They will be unthankful. They will be unholy. they will be unloving, unforgiving, they will be slandering, they will have no self-control, and they will be brutal because of what we have already said. And these are the times that show that we are in the last days, and we should be very, very careful. The spices of those that are good, there are many of them. The American version says the haters of good. People don't like what God has said, which is the truth. They always want something different. And we are seeing many, many, many of them in our days. Let's worry about now our time is running. We talk about traitors, people who are traitors. Omwa, yuama. Obi kra osi odo but na oyiwama. They are the ones we call traitors. They are false to their friends, they are false to their families. And that is betray people who betray people. That's what we call traitors. And he said we will see them in our day. He talk about heady or headstrong. The people who are bold in the assertion of their own selves and they live with pride. They are heady. Om two more things. Don't put some high-minded people who are convinced that they are superior to the others, and then they always think about themselves and not any other person. We also talk about love, levels of pleasure rather than levels of God. As I said, go to the beach right now, you see people who are there. People love pleasure more than loving God. But the sad thing is that what does the pleasure give them? It will end to nothing. It doesn't take them anywhere. And our society today, they emphasize on pleasure, having fun with the variety of forms of entertainment and recreation. And they think that is how to be happy. I'm not saying we should not entertain ourselves, we should not have fun. We should. But if that becomes your number one priority, as against God and His way, that is very, very dangerous. That is what Paul is calling it. The perilous times. These are dangerous times. Then, having a form of godliness by denying its power. See, people have an appearance of God. They claim to be Christians. They claim to be preachers. They claim to be apostles, prophets, and so on. But inside them, is a different thing. They worship God or they do whatever they are doing for what they can get, either to be famous or to have money, but not truly in their heart that they want people to repent. They are warning people about the wrath to come. These are the things we must warn people about the wrath to come, not on worldly things. To be rich and perish. As I said, if I gain the whole world and lose my soul, what have you got? So, even though we have fun, we entertain ourselves, we must always think of God first. And always ask ourselves, this fun that I'm having, will it be pleasing to God? And then the answer would be there. And then in verses 6 to 7, we see that Paul goes on to give a further warning. He says, for of this sort, are they which creep into houses and lead captives of silly women, laying down a sin, led away by their lust, ever learning and never able to be. People like them, they are the ones who go and deceive people, lie to them, and then get them into their churches. And it's all because of their money. They come and they force them to sow seed, they force them to do this and do that and do that. But because in our days nobody is reading the Bible, nobody is studying the Bible, so they become an easy prey. Whatever they tell them, they believe and they follow them. This is what is wonder. We should be careful about such people. People who come into your homes and try to win you, but in reality, they will make your condition worse. Those people, their target are those who are weak-willed, people who they can tempt them easily and win them. And it's the people who are loaded down with sin. Obviously, when you are in sin, you become an easy target because you don't understand anything. You are weak. They can easily win you. And he says, always learning. See, it means you are always curious, religiously.
but not coming to any understanding. Because they are not humble, they are not willing to study, to let the word of God direct them. They want to direct the word of God, so they will never understand. They will never understand. That is what Apostle Paul is saying here. So friends, for all these things that God, Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, is telling Timothy, and is also telling us, what does he want Timothy to do? What does he have to do? What exactly does Paul want Timothy to do in view of this dangerous time that we are in now? And the answer can be found in chapter 4, verse 2. In the same 2 Timothy. Let's see. So, if you go to chapter 4, verse 2, let's begin from verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Then we already say, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So that's what Apostle Paul wants Timothy to do, to preach and warn people about these things. And that is the gospel. The gospel warns people, and after the warning, then he shows you the way to come out of this wrath. And that's what Paul wants Timothy to preach. And that's why he wants us to also preach to people of our time, that they should repent of their sins. And can they preach the word? The only remedy to this thing is the word of God. And the only message that we can tell or inform the people is to know that there's an offer of forgiveness of your sins. So that all these things, as we are seeing now, when they happen, we know that we have a hope. But the day that Christ comes, if you listen to our third hymn, the fourth stanza, it says, saints will be happy to see that Christ has come, but sinners will be in danger. But that will be the end. And that's what it was in Noah's time. Noah preached for 120 years. People were laughing at him until one day the rain started, which was too late. In our time, Christ said, you will come as a thief in the night. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? You can't bear that day, friends. And you must do whatever it takes to be in Christ, so that when that day comes, you know that you go to where it is. What do you have to do? Repent of your sins now. Come to him wherever you are. As you are sitting there now, pray to him. Confess your sins to him. Ask him to forgive you and give you a new birth. And he will. Because he said, nobody that comes to me will I drive away. This is the word of God. And I think we all take it seriously. Come to him now and ask for forgiveness. Let's